The idea that no one is looking at the model presented by Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York, which was very simple. If you throw a rock, you're arrested. If you throw a bottle, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, New York was, and it literally was almost overnight, New York became safe.
The John McCullough Show, weekday evenings at 6 on The Patriot.
Dennis Prager here. Let me tell you about something medically that works. How is that for an intro? I'm about to say it because I never really thought I would. I took Relief Factor as the first pain reliever I would ever endorse because of how it worked for my wife and my colleague Hugh Hewitt. Now I can tell you this thing is, I call it something just short of a miracle. I had an ongoing pain, not a terrible pain, and I simply assumed I would just live with it because of my workouts. It just keep recurring. Then I got some knee pain as a result of some of the workouts. I decided I would take Relief Factor for the knee pain, and now both are gone. It's amazing. ReliefFactor.com. All I ask that you visit their website and then you decide whether or not to try it. Obviously, it can't help everybody. There is no such thing on earth, but it certainly helps a lot of people, and now I include me as one of them. It's a phenomenal product, and it's all natural. You can't take an anti-inflammatory like ibuprofen for an indefinite period of time, but you can take Relief Factor. So go to ReliefFactor.com.
A local military family helped by the Patriot Care and Share.
Words cannot express how grateful we are for the generous gift you surprised our family with this Christmas. Because of that money, I was able to get a phone with a screen so my one-year-old son can Skype my deployed husband. To us, this is the greatest gift we could ask for. So from a family that now gets to spend a few minutes together every week, we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
FM 101.5 and AM 1400 The Patriot thanks Madison Heights Tire and Auto, Roush, Ram's Horn of Rochester Hills, Online Trading Academy, and Trigicon for sponsoring the Patriot Care and Share. Because of their big hearts, we're able to bless 9 Michigan military families. Each is receiving a $500 gift card. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
And we're back on Sports Talk. Here's John Cameron.
Hey, we're back on Sports Talk, waiting now for Bill Scheer. Got him? They call. No, they're just going to try us again. Okay. He was busy. We're waiting for Bill Scheer, the assistant general manager, special assistant general manager of the Chicago White Sox, my guest on Sports Talk. And he'll be on for from 6 till 7. And he played for the Tigers, pitched for the Tigers in the 1984 season, one of the magic years for the Tigers in 1984. Bill Scheer on Sports Talk coming up in just a moment. Fine Indian cuisine awaits you at Pakwan in Plymouth. Pakwan features northern Indian favorites, sea kebabs, tandoori, shrimp and fish, Punjabi, chicken marsala, and more. Pakwan has lunch and dinner specials 7 days and an elegant, casual atmosphere, the best Indian food around. Go to the new Pakwan at 447 Forest Avenue, downtown Plymouth. And Meds Direct Pharmacy in Clinton Township, dedicated to treating personal injury patients from auto accidents, slip and fall, work-related injuries. With one call, Meds Direct will deliver your physician-prescribed medications directly to your door so you can focus on getting better. Make Meds Direct Pharmacy your one stop for all your prescription needs. Located on 19 Mile between Garfield and Hayes in the Greater Lakes Medical Plaza, go online, mensdirectpharmacy.com, mensdirectpharmacy.com. And Westland Bowl for over 50 years. A great place to bowl for your family and friends and you. Or join a league. Westland Bowl is one of the largest bowling centers in Metro Detroit. 60 lanes with many amenities. 2 bars and a snack bar with great pizza and burgers. Have fun and burn those calories at Westland Bowl, a perfect place for fundraisers and company parties. Westland Bowl on Wayne Road, north of Ford Road. My guest is Bill Scheer on Sports Talk. And we're taking your calls at 800-923-9385, 800 323-9385. Or you can email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. What's happening, Bill?
Well, nothing, Ron. I'm just relaxing, waiting for another new year to come. So it's coming soon here in Arizona. It's going to be quicker for you than it is for
Yeah, a little quicker over here, won't it be? A little quicker. Well,
how's the beautiful weather in Detroit today?
The beautiful weather is pretty beautiful today.
44 degrees.
We can't argue with that at all.
No, it's good. And it's good. It's not that great here. It's overcast, probably around 60-some degrees. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it's nice. But, yeah, you guys got no snow, no bad winter weather, nothing, huh?
Well, we had some bad weather. Yes, we did. But it's okay now. We're doing pretty well now with it.
We did.
Now, tell us, your White Sox have had a pretty interesting winter.
So far, yes.
Yeah, you've
so
gotten some big prospects. Of course, you traded Sale, and you traded your other guy in the outfield, and Eaton gone. What does this year look like for the White Sox?
Well, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of what may happen down the road. I mean, if people are willing to get the players that we still have and willing to give us so-called, I guess, more prospects, this team is in a rebuilding mold. And, we've tried through years to try to put the best product on, and in some cases it's been successful, and in the last few years or so it has not. And when you keep buying players or add this player or that, and you don't have systematic guys, it's difficult to keep doing this, especially through budget dollars that a lot of teams go through as well. So, you know, I'm sure nobody wanted to get rid of Chris Sale or Adam Eaton, but the so-called prospects that we got, the seven guys from Washington and Boston, a lot of times you just don't know with prospects. I mean, we know all through that they come in like that, and in another two or three years you don't know. But having that many and the quality of arms and Mankato from Boston, we're doing what we're supposed to do and go through a process. And it's almost like saying you drafted these players now. So in another two or three years, we hope you're competitive enough, quality enough pitching. And also, remember, through the drafts of 2017 and 18 and so forth, it allows the guys to build through systems besides. And then when they are finally ready in a couple of years, so Rodon will have a few years under his belt and other guys that are coming up. It gives the minor league guys a little bit more opportunity to groom before trying to push them to the big leagues too quick and try to win at all costs. And so we probably could have done this a couple of years ago, and I think it's a great thing to do. It was time. And just hopefully in another, and we're still going to be a competitive team. I mean, if this team didn't make another trade, we're still good enough to compete. The question is, are you good enough to win? And I think a lot of clubs are going through that now, and that's where we're at for the next year or so. And like I said before, hopefully these players and players down the road, if we make other trades, will make us better.
So you're not really done trading, are you?
Well, you never want to say that because you've made a decision already to get rid of or make trades like a big trade like for Sale and Eaton. So when you do make those kind of trades, the last thing you want to say is people are going to stop. But you're also not going to just trade the trade. We've got guys that are under contract with good deals for both parties. They've got security, and we've got a good deal as well with Quintana and the rest. So if somebody's willing to go after somebody of our players and our give us a quality enough of young players that in return, you're obviously going to listen because we already did that for Sale and we already did that with Eaton. What makes us stop now? Because you've already made a plan, and the plan is in another two or three years to build a system to allow yourself to be able to be that competitive team as well as being a team not just for 1 year or two, but hopefully through a period of time to compete. That's a difficult process to do. And if you don't draft or you don't get young players of your own, we've seen it through the free agent market. I mean, just because you can go sign somebody for all these million-dollar players, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win championships. I mean, just look back and see what the Cubs did. Look what Kansas City did. Their core of their players were pretty much systematic. And when they did make a trade for Will Myers, who did they get? They got Davis and they got Kane. They got Shields. But they also got Kane and Escobar in other trades. But their core guys were Moustakas and Perez and Hosmer and, you know, and so when you – and Alex Gordon and their young pitching. So yeah. You have to start from both sides. You have you have to grow them, and you have to make some good quality trades in return.
Let me ask you, your job with the White Sox now, your special – you see a lot of clubs. How many clubs do you have on your
I see all 30 major league clubs. For the last 12 years, my sole responsibility is to evaluate all the major leagues. So this might be the first year that I can sit in the winter meetings and really did not connect with any of those guys. It was all our pro guys that had all those reports in that made evaluation. Now, mind you, they were all studded players, but there were a bunch of players on those lists that our guys who scouted whoever it was through doing the Boston organization or Washington. It was off of their opinion and multiple opinions through their evaluations, and I never see it. So Dave Yoakam and myself, it might be the first time in a while that we sat in a suite just looking at names like we really don't know them. You know, unless you catch them sometimes in spring training, and I'm always in Florida in spring training, you may catch a bird's eye of some young arms that are coming up. But most of the time you don't see them unless they get to the big leagues. So
you're not doing any minor league work. You and Dave aren't doing any minor league work at all, right?
No, I haven't seen a minor league game in probably, this will be my 13th year of not seeing minor league ball.
Really?
In the past, you know, I used to see, you know, whether I did the Eastern League or the International League or whether you did the Sally League. And then I sometimes, you know.
I don't think they're around anymore, the Sally League.
No. Well, the South Atlantic League's in there.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be when I played in it with the Western Carolina, which a lot of people said, which, who,
yes,
what, what's
that
called? But they just changed the name from Western Carolina, and then there's the Carolina. But again, I haven't seen an A-ball or double-A or triple-A game, and this is going on 13 years. So, and I miss it to a certain extent. I mean, there's nothing like going to see young kids. And so when you do, but again, a lot of guys would argue that it's great to see major league players. Well, so, you know, hand in hand, in the past, we've made trades and acquisitions or free agent signing, getting big league players. But in this last year, and I'm sure the next year or so, we're going the other direction. We're trying to build a system within through our draft and through trades of the players that we have, if the trades make sense. You know, you don't make trades just to make trades either. I mean, you know, we felt we got a good deals with Washington, and I'm sure they felt the same thing for getting Eaton, as well as Boston. We got four quality guys that we looked at, our guys who scouted them, that felt that they were really going to help us down the road. Some are quicker than others. For a guy of the caliber of getting a guy like Chris Sale, you better get some quality guys.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you got one prospect, and on paper, I mean, you gave up a left-handed, mediocre left-handed relief pitcher in Zach Duke, and you got yourself a pretty good prospect that could play center field for you for a few years in Charlie Tilson.
See, I've never saw him, and unfortunately, when he did get there, he got hurt.
Yeah, I know.
It's just the freaky things that happen in this crazy game. But you're right. But here we are talking about it. And again, I can't evaluate or sit in rooms with other organizations. But, you know, when you look at Zach Duke's career, and in the last few years of him, you know, how many times he's taken the ball and being in clutch situations. I mean, he pitched obviously very, very well for us. They felt they needed another quality lefty. And in their determination, they wanted him. And I can't tell you what they evaluated this kid, but I'm sure our guys feel very, very, very high on this guy. So you're right. That becomes a good trade, I guess, for both parties. They wanted him. They felt they had a surplus, whatever they evaluated on him. And obviously we made the trade. So
well, he's been around a few years. Okay. You know, he's been around a few years, but he's hit at every level he's been. Tilson, he's hit at every level.
That's what I mean. And you know what's funny? And this is the other issue with a lot of young kids. And, I mean, I've always speak on behalf of pitching because I hated position players. But what I do think, what I always protect them, you know, when you're going through a minor league process, there's 13 pitchers, or there's always, and we're always going to get an opportunity to throw. But position players don't always get that opportunity. If you get caught up in a tailspin where you got guys already at the big league level, or there's double A guys, you could get lost. For instance, Adam Eaton, Pollock, Peralta. And there was a guy they had, they didn't know what they had, was Inciarte. Now, Inciarte goes as a Rule 5 guy with Philadelphia, and they didn't keep him because, in their opinion, at that time, they wanted John Mayberry Jr. Well, guess what?
That was a disaster.
He's a pretty good big league player now.
Yes, he is.
A lot of times, it's great to have a lot of surplus of position players, but you know what? There can only be three outfielders. Unless you're playing in the American League, you got a DH, and usually that's a stiff type of guy, whether he's restricted defensively.
Yes,
so
very much so.
You've got quality guys. You can't play them all. So what happens sometimes, some guys get lost in the shuffle, or they make trades because they feel that guy is going to be here for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, so continue.
It's a great thing to have. It also could be a button you can bite you in the ass, too.
We're talking with Bill Scheer, former Tiger. We're going to talk about his career time in Detroit and a funny situation happened here with K-Line, and he'll laugh when he's already told him about that. And, Bill Scheer, if you have any questions, here's our number, 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Bill played for the Tigers, pitched for the Tigers and the 84 team. The Red Olive in Canton, new management, inviting you to come in for a good home-cooked meal at a good price. Red Olive serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 days, daily specials like weekday breakfast special, $2.99, 2 eggs, hash browns, and toast. The Red Olive Canton, corner of Canton Center and Cherry Hill. And Motor City Rental rents and sells boom lifts.
Don't worry.
Scissor lifts, telehandlers, high-lows, and Broderson cranes at affordable prices. Quality equipment, all at affordable prices. Another specialty equipment, too. And Motor City Rentals has parts and service. Go to MotorCityRental.com, MotorCityRental.com, MotorCityRental.com. Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven has one of the largest selections of brand name and imported cigars, a variety of roll-your-own cigarettes and gift items, all at low price. And Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven has a giant walk-in humidor. Open 7 days for all your smoking needs. Go to Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven, corner of Allen and West Rose, behind Myers. Check out Tobacco Joe's Woodhaven. We're talking here on Sports Talk with a guy that pitched here for a while with the Tigers, and most notably in 1984. And we're talking with Bill Scheer, and now the special assistant general manager of Chicago White Sox. Let's talk, Bill, shall we, about the your time in Detroit.
Everywhere in life, I'm always just brief. So if I was there, take a snapshot real quick because I'm probably somewhere else the next day.
We talked about, I remember one night you were wild, and you have a tendency of getting wild out there.
Mm-hmm. Not anymore. You know, thank God I don't have to pick up a baseball anymore.
But when you were here, and Kel and K-Line are doing a game one night, and I talked to you about this, and Kel said, well, Al K-Line, he's a little wild out there. George, Bill Scheer is pitching to each hitter as though he was Babe Ruth.
God love Al. God love Al. It's really nice. And he probably is right. I probably thought it was Babe Ruth. my time in Detroit was wonderful. Like I said before, for a guy coming up from the Reds and going through all the ups and downs and then eventually getting to the big leagues in 82 with the Reds. And then obviously getting the opportunity to pitch, first year really to be a reliever and have 73 games. And I mean, I never, envisioned never pitching like that ever because, the old days, guys came through the minor leagues, they started. So guys didn't go through a relieving core when they were drafted. So and now that I'm scouting and I evaluate like I'm watching, I can look at myself and not be honest about it. A lot of times when we play, sometimes we think we're better than what we were, or we lie about what we are. But when I look and see what I was, I can evaluate just like that situational guy, herky-jerky, deceptive, sink and big breaking curveball. And those are the things that sometimes you take by examples when you're going out and scouting, seeing something of that similarities. Somebody always laughed when we drafted Chris Sale. Somebody goes, somebody wrote a report on him when he was coming out of Florida. I think it was Florida Atlantic, whatever college he came. Florida Coastal.
I don't know this, but he lived in Lakeland. I think he went to Florida Southern, didn't he?
No. He went to Florida. It's one in Fort Myers or somewhere.
Florida Atlantic. Okay, okay. All
right. Right, Florida Coast Atlantic, whatever that is. But anyway, somebody put down a physical description, and somebody goes, physical description is similar to ex-big leaguer Bill Shear. Which, you know, when I'm in spring training, I'm standing next to Rick Kenneth. He says, you know, I weigh more than he does. So Rick goes, well, do you want to go weigh in? I said, well, let's do it. You know, I was kidding. And I looked at Sale, and Sale's like 6'6 and about 175, 180. Well, you know, technically I'm 6'4 and a half, 180 now. So very, very similar. Now, it stops there, as somebody says. It stops. You're both a left-hander. That's as far as we can go. So instead of Sale and me. But it gives you a gauge of when I came through Cincinnati to come to Detroit. And, you know, it's funny because I played for George Sugar. And George Sugar was coached Sparky Anderson.
Yes.
And Sparky Anderson coached Pete Rose. Well, I had all three of them. So Sparky there, when I signed in 77, Sparky was, you know, in the gala of the Reds and until he left for Detroit, or they got rid of him then at that time. That's how that connection came. And I was sent out in 84. And, you know, it was a guy named George Bradley that was out there evaluating it. And then that's how I got traded before the deadline. So I was very blessed to be able to be a part of something like that, especially where I was at that time. Team was losing in Cincinnati in 84, as well as I was back in the minors. So, you know, no matter how short of life I get in big leagues, the ups and downs, I just ran out of uniforms. You know, that's all it was. I look back at my career, and after playing 15 years and playing with 12 different systems, I look at it as a blessing, not always necessarily as a negative. Now, would I have loved to stay with one club for 4 or 5 or 6 years and make X amount of money? Sure, but that's a moot point. It's over. This is my 26th year of scouting, starting my 41st, and I've been blessed to be around this game this long. So I always even keep pinching myself to say I'm doing this for a living versus I have friends of mine that still live in factories or work their butts off, whether they're plumbers or iron workers or all that. I have reality checks in on me. The first thing everybody says is, don't you wish you'd have played now with all the money? You know what? I'd have blown it. So who cares? It's a moot point. You know, at the time, when I looked at my time of playing in the big league, I remember Fergusi once said, hey, there were 16 big league teams when they were there. When I was playing, we just got Seattle and Toronto in 1977. So, yeah, with 30 clubs, it gives everybody more opportunities. So, you know, we can argue all we want whether the game's the same. Is it fundamentally? Is it watered down? Are they pushed up too quick? You know what? You know, when you got 30 clubs, some guys got to get there quick because there just isn't enough body.
So I want to talk to you.
When I look back at my career, I've been very blessed. Very blessed.
I want to talk because I know you're very, very close to Jim Fregosi. And, you know, I tried to get Jim on the show a couple times. That was more fun than anything else. And he said, I'm not coming on your show. You kill people. You kill people. And he said, because they told him, you go on his show, because I had 6 people that died within 3 or 4 weeks of my show. And because I get the older people, I'm not going on your show. No way. And one day his son was sitting, Ken Madej and I were sitting in the broadcast side before one of the games doing stuff. And Jim's son, who's a pretty good major league scout too, was sitting there and said, Jim, why don't you tell your dad I'd like to get him on the radio show sometime? Next time you see him, I'll text him right now. And Madej looked at me, oh, no. I said, okay, Ron Cameron here wants you on his radio show. And he texted him. Fregosi Sr. goes back.
He's sorely missed. You know,
oh, great man.
Doing this, you know, he had 30 major league clubs as well. So when I started getting this assignment, 13 years ago, him and me just connected because we had the same thing in common. We could set our schedules. The only difference is he was working for the Braves and I was working for the White Sox. So a lot of times he'd want to see American League. And the way I always wanted to start my season was see National League first and then go American, unless it was West Coast. At that time.
Sure. But I want to continue.
We were around each other.
Oh, I know. I saw you in Detroit several times. So anyway, when he texted him, said he wanted on the show, he texts back and he says, son, would you tell Ron Cameron, number one, I don't do talk shows. Number two, I sure am not going to do his show. No way. Son, the man is a killer. Anybody goes on his show, dies. I want to.
And he never, And he never did it, did he?
No, he never did. And we just busted up. And he said, he came back and told me that and then texted. I told him that, Dad, and he said, you did good, son.
He got you good.
He got me.
Yeah.
What a great man.
Yeah, sure was.
Are you off those cigarettes yet?
You know what? I was going to do that again. Thank God Gibson's not around here, because every time I tried when I was playing, he would obviously throw a carrot at me and start having a cigarette, which he doesn't smoke.
Who's this?
And then I would cheat.
Who's
well,
this?
Gibby and me, this was when we were playing. You know, he'd bet $100 that I would, and I was originally trying to stop. That was in 1985. But Gibby would antagonize me, and then I eventually, you know, I gave him $100 I lost. So, I, you know, everybody's got a New Year's resolution, and, you know, and I said, you know what? I mean, why to have resolutions when you're not going to be able to abide by them? You're not going to hold up.
What are you trying to say, Bill? What are you trying to say?
I'm not quitting.
You know you got to. You and Leland.
I know, and I saw him in the Winnemese, and boy, I tell you what, the Winnemese, and he can pound him as well. He's right up there.
Yeah, he's. You got to get off those things, Bill. You're too good of a guy for that.
Well, and like I said, there, lady, one of these days, you know, when it comes to, it's got to be something that I just got to get up in the morning and say, listen, I want to stop. I don't like. But the problem I have, and I know this sounds, I mean, I'm sure people who quit smoking would say the same thing. I enjoy them. You know, people do the, what is it, those electric cigarettes and all that. I'm not saying I couldn't do that. It's just that I really still just enjoy. Now, we can go on the money, but it's really what we're all talking about really is your health. You know, health is
the
issue. But at this moment, I feel the same way I did, you know, when I was playing. So, I mean, physically and you know, health-wise, knock on wood. Now, we don't know what tomorrow brings, as you just said about the people we've lost. I mean, you know, I was even talking to somebody just recently and then found out that I was talking to Tommy, you know, somebody brought up Tommy Brookins and said he had Lyme disease. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? And I don't know what Lyme disease was really by the definition of itself. So I found out. I said, well, you know, he's blind. So I called Brookie. And Brookie's big on, you know, hunting and being out in the woods in Chambersburg. And he got bit by a tick or by one of those things from the deer. And he's doing fine. I said, you know, you lose your eyes and everything else. But he takes medication, everything else. He said he feels better. He's supposed to be coaching with Leland for that USA team. So they got it in time. But I didn't know how bad that can be. You know, you can die of that.
You can die or get blind, and you can say what you want about time. Tommy Brookins is a great person, but you know as well as I do, and we talked about that
absolutely.
Tommy Brookins could be, give him 10 minutes to live, and he'd be joking around. That's just the way he is.
And that's how he was.
Yeah, so you don't know if he's feeling good or not.
I talked to him. He's doing fine. When I heard that, I forget who I heard it from, but I have, you know, I have Brookie's phone number, so I immediately called Brookie, and we chatted about it, and he did get Lyme disease, and he had to go through a real process. It was a scary moment. But as he told me, his eyes are fine. He's walking around fine. He's still, you know, he's still hunting, and it sounds like he's back in the cell. He's going to go. Now, it's still, I guess once you get it, you always get it or something. So I guess he still has to, you know, take whatever medications he's taking, but he's doing fine. I mean, it's not a, because the way it was first impressed and thrown at me, I thought, Jiminy Christmas, he's going down. But
he's a good man.
No, but I listened to him. He sounded just like Brookie.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, let's hope he is, because he's a heck of a man. Were you always goal to be a baseball player? Did you always feel that's what you wanted to do early in life?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I would say that most kids who get up, that's, you know, we all played, we at my level at least, we all played all three sports, or we played stickball, or we whatever the seasons were growing up in Buffalo. But, you know, that was always, you know, probably my calling. I think my brother really thought I should have been playing Division I basketball, which he did at UB, you know, against Murphy and Lanier and, you know, Randy Smith and all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, it was, you know, after you look back at it, you know, all of us play all different sports, no matter what level of play. And unfortunately, for some, it stops at different levels. Some of it stops at high school. Some of it stops at some junior college or four-year schools. Or some guys play summer ball. Some go from bat to softball. It was just one of those things that, my abilities, and I stayed healthy. They gave me an opportunity to play as long as I did.
I got to take a break here, but a couple of things that you brought up was, of course, Dave Yoakam was a great guy. And Dave and I talked right after. You talk about George Bradley, of course. And Dave and George were close. In fact, they were supposed to room together that weekend that George died.
Wow.
Some meetings or something, they had a room scheduled. Then they called Dave and said, George died. Well, George didn't take care of himself that well. He was a diabetic.
Right.
And a great human being. We go back, him and I, a long time. He was a general manager of the Yankees and chief scout for the Tigers, scouting director for the Tigers, and a great human being, George Bradley. And then you talked about another guy. Who else you were talking about earlier that I wanted to comment as well is, of course, Dave Yoakam. I've known Dave for forever.
Oh, Dave, the salt of the earth. I mean, he depicts, he'd almost be like the Roland Heeman, like when we have a Roland Heeman Award, and I was blessed to also play for Roland that brief time in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But Dave Yoakam is probably, is probably in our industry. I know he gets mad when I say he turned 70 years old this year. He still looks like he's 50, but he is what a professional person who represents an organization is supposed to be. I mean, he is just a class act, and I mean, besides the Scout Foundation, that he deals with people that are in dire trouble.
Yes,
and they lose their jobs, whatever, takes care of
him and the agent. Him and the agent in Chicago too.
Dennis Gilbert.
Dennis Gilbert. Yes.
And Jerry's involved in it, and Roland, the Roland Heeman Award.
Jerry who?
They're just.
Oh, Reinsdorf.
Jerry Reinsdorf. So there's so many. But Dave Yoakam to me, is put on a pedestal. I'll deny this in public to him, but he is what a professional scout is supposed to act and behave and look up to. And I think the world of Dave Yoakam.
Yeah.
Even if I never worked with Dave or anything else, I just think he's a salt of the earth and a true professional.
Yeah, he's a good man. I've known him for many, and I've known you for many years too.
Well, you only can know me for a while because I come and I leave and I come and I leave and I move from Buffalo to Arizona. I just told somebody, if you move back to Buffalo, somebody goes, why would you do that? I said, because I'm running from the law.
Yeah.
So if you're going to move back,
that's the only way you move back to Buffalo. He's running for the law. Either that, or you're a skier. You just want that freezing weather in the winter.
Where you like Niagara Falls?
Speaking of another scout from Buffalo, was a great guy. First base Danny Carnevale.
Oh, he was a tough. He was a tough old bastard.
Oh.
He was a tough. I never knew him until this was years ago. I was an instructional, and I went to six of them. And I was probably with the Reds at the time, and he was yelling and screaming. And I looked over, and then Jimmy Hoff said, I said, who the hell is that guy? And I think he was at that time with the Indians. And I said, geez, that guy's just screaming at me. He goes, guess what? He's from Buffalo, New York. And he said, Danny Carnevale. When I first met him years ago.
Great guy. Great guy.
He is a great guy, but he's old school. He's like what George Sugar was. They were old school. They were no nonsense. That I guess the kids today probably couldn't handle those kind of George Kittle type guys. He was a tough, but he meant probably everything, and he probably meant as much with his heart the way he acted than he is for people that give everybody big hugs. He was not a big hug guy.
He'd hang around me in Detroit. We'd go out and eat. He'd get mad when I'll tell you who'd get mad when we go to a restaurant smoking, and I said, "Non, right? Don't mumble at me." And I'd go. We'd go sit in the non-smoking. Would be Buddy Kerr.
See, I didn't know him. I met him, but I really didn't.
Oh,
did he work,
God.
Work for the Mets? Was he with the Mets?
Oh, for years. In fact, he was a shortstop of the Mets and set a record for another guy. Brinkman set a record for the most errorless games at shortstop. Him and Brinkman were neck and neck at different eras, of course, and they were both good friends of mine, too. Buddy Kerr was, so he looked like a smoker, and he had that old-looking face, too, before he died. But he was. We're going to continue with Bill Sheeran. Take your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. You have any questions for the former Tiger and now the special assistant to the general manager, Rick Hahn, of the Chicago White Sox, 800-923-9385, or email CameronSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Teriyaki Madness in Macomb features the best chicken teriyaki and spicy chicken. Tender and juicy. It is good, folks. yakisoba noodles, also vegetarian dishes, shrimp tempura, and appetizers and salads, lunch and dinner, 7 days, dine in, and carry out and delivery at Teriyaki Madness Hall Road, just east of Hayes. Look up Teriyaki Madness on Yelp, Google, and Facebook. It's good food, very tender and juicy, the chicken teriyaki. I recommend it. Michigan Beer Company, Novi, representing the hardworking people with great food and drinks, and showcasing over 100 Michigan craft beers on tap and in bottles and cans. That features a full menu with Michigan foods and unique dishes like venison, cedar, blank salmon, rabbit pierogies, beer battered fish and chips, great meatloaf and ribeye steaks in an upscale casual atmosphere. Dinner 7 days and lunch on the weekends. Michigan Beer Company. Parties up to dining and parties up to 1,000 people. Michigan Beer Company, downtown Novi, Grand River, and Main Street. Dining and party reservations, go to mibeerco.com. 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 If you like Michigan beers, you'll love Michigan Beer Company. Escape Games in Livonia features fun, interactive rooms filled with clues and puzzles designed to utilize different skill sets for players to navigate their way out of. Your team of up to 8 will have 1 hour to escape from abandoned ship, murder mystery, or the toughest of all, jailbreak. It's fun for the whole family and friends, or corporate team building. Gift certificates available. For more info, go online at Escape Games with an X, MotorCity.com, EscapeGamesMotorCity.com. And the Mitten Pub in downtown downtown Wyandotte features many Michigan craft beers on tap and shows sports always, including NFL Sunday Ticket, the best place for sports in Wyandotte. The Mitten has awesome burgers, gourmet brats, and is famous for the golden tater tots, loaded tater tots, I should say, serving dinner and drink specials Tuesday through Sunday. The Mitten Pub on Sycamore at Biddle. Like the Mitten Pub on Facebook. We're talking on Sports Talk with former Tiger pitcher Bill Shear, now with the White Sox, special assistant to the general manager. And we'll take your calls at 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Is that game finally over?
Finally.
Good gracious.
You know, it was the football game?
Yeah, 24-7, Alabama beats Washington. Good club, Washington. Yeah. Alabama wins it all. Alabama wins it all, Bill.
Yeah, they couldn't. Washington just couldn't move the ball. I mean, their defense was just swung.
They did early. They did early, but they didn't do.
Yeah, they did early. It was early, and then they just made a few mistakes. And he just interception it before he ran in for the touchdown, make it 17-7, and they just couldn't move the ball. They couldn't move the ball.
And then the interesting part is it's all a game of adjustments. It's about adjustments.
Yeah.
Some people make them. Some people don't.
Right. Well, that's why Alabama's undefeated. I mean, they're almost like in some cases, an NFL team, for God's sake.
Oh, they're tough.
They are tough.
They are tough as nails.
I had a question for you, Bill. So when you scout pitchers, being a former pitcher yourself, what are some of the traits that you look for in a successful pitcher?
Well, you know what? We're blessed because we have Don Cooper. You know, he gets a lot of accolades, and rightfully so.
Good pitching coach. Good one.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, Larry Rothschild was I was a little younger than Larry coming up through the Reds organization. And I was a teammate with Mike Maddox. So some of those guys have done wonderful jobs with the clubs they've had. And, you know, it really starts with just simple mechanics. I mean, I know everybody likes to talk about the Maddox and everything else. But simple things, you know, you look at guys like Sale. Sale's a little different because he's a little bit more herky-jerky, a lot of crossbody, obviously great arm speed, all the rest. And, you know, he's got the most important thing is balance over the rubber. I mean, I've always said, you know, the free and easy arm swings and everything else. But, you know, when you look at the simple mechanics of guys, balance, direction, you know, finishing. And again, when you look at a guy like Jose Quintana, I mean, I went down to spring training, and I go down a few days just to go before I end up flying to Florida for spring training, because even though I live here for 41 years playing and scouting, I've always been in Florida. You know, we moved to Arizona last 5.5 years. So, you know, everybody laughs and says, why don't you go to spring training in Arizona? Well, you know, we chose to live here. So, I mean, I'm accustomed to go to Florida. And so when I do go to see us a day or two, I go down, obviously, see the bullpen work, and to watch a guy like Quintana balance, arms up in the arm slot position, gets over the front, flexible front side, and boom, boom, boom. It's like strike after strike and location. Guys do that because they have real solid mechanics. And mechanics are, you know, some guys rock. Some guys have just pivot. Some guys, you see now today, some guys throw from the stretch because there aren't. Some guys were like full. You don't see those full windup guys. Look at Tim Lincecum. You know, nobody will ever knock a Lincecum. Two Cy Young Awards. Back archer, a lot of moving pieces, even like Jared Weaver. Goes crossbody, arms way in the back. You know, it's almost some cases stiff. But guys like when they break, and guys like Dibble, power arms.
Dibble.
When they break, it's very difficult for them to be, quote, pitchers. They're power. And so, you know, so when I look and tell kids to watch guys like Quintana. You know, watch his mechanics. You know, when I was working at baseball schools, you know, Rick Lancelotti in Buffalo. Simple things, you know, just the rocker step or the pivot. Some guys like to work on one side of the rubber or the other. It used to be angles. You usually use the angles because of deception. Arm slots. Most people don't realize. Well, where is his arm slot? Is it low three quarter? Is it three quarter? Is it high? Some guys drop arm slots sometimes. Grip of the ball. Some kids, you know, I was growing up, I didn't know really the difference between a two seam and a four. You know, four seam, if you stay on top of the ball, is straight and true and it has some rise. Well, all position players throw that. Even pitchers for locations and more, maybe a little bit more velocity. The only then you turn a horseshoe, which is a two-seamer, that gives you life, run, and sink. So it's movement. So, and the only one that wants movement is a pitcher. So, you know, when you're growing up, you didn't, you know, I wasn't raised with people with all these baseball schools. And you just grabbed the ball and you threw it. And, yeah. You know, so now that we're all experts, you can help kids understand, besides thinking, when should I throw a curveball? You know, these kids start throwing curveballs. Why? Because they don't throw 90 miles an hour. So they want to say, oh, I got to have another pitch. Well, kids are just, their bodies are growing. Their templates are growing. So all of a sudden, they start throwing more and more curveballs, and they can't even scratch their ass because they're probably throwing it wrong. So they have a little wrinkle, so they feel inferior because they can't get hitters out. So, again, it's just, to me personally, it's simple mechanics. And like I said, I'm only giving you one example of a Jose Quintana. We can give the Greg Maddux types. Very simple. 1-2-3. Almost like dance steps. 1-2-3. Guys with bigger leg kicks or they pull their front side. Like James Shields. Really good pitcher. Obviously, we know he struggled last year and he's had his struggling time. He's a big leg kick guy. Pulls his front arm. His directions go differently. And then the balls don't finish. So his changeup doesn't finish. His fastball's up in the zone. Well, because his mechanics broke down.
Yeah.
So,
and the two you're talking about too. More simple. Two you're talking about too is really falling off the last year. That terrible year is Lincecum. I don't think anybody's going to sign him anymore after that performance last year. And he's a toilet seat pitcher. Toilet seat up and down.
But you know what? But you know what's funny? You know, there's only a certain amount of bullets comes in every arm.
Yeah.
Some of these guys have thrown 200+, 200+, 200+. Some guys are, I'm not trying to say because you have smaller frames and everything else, but for all the efforts and every pitch that you throw, I mean, God willing, some guys throw longer than others. And you know, but after a while, they're just, Mother Nature plays its course on all of us. You know, and again, that's where it comes back to even watching myself. Looking at other mechanics, I was a drifter, crossbody, leg kick, elbows and kneecaps, and low three-quarter to sidearm. So just envision, if you break down, how are you able to get that ball and locate it, whether it's inside or out, when your wrist is dropping and you're flying and you're fighting with your body? That's called mechanics. And you have a lot more moving pieces and a lot of more things. A lot more things will happen. It'll break down.
And Quintana is one of the most underrated pitchers in all of baseball, in my opinion, because of his simple mechanics.
Who?
Quintana, one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you know what? We argued one time because we're bringing up mechanics and everything else, and this is funny because as great a career as Lincecum has, no matter what has happened in the last year or so, we used to argue. Look at Matt Cain and look at Tim Lincecum, both coming up with the Giants. We always believed that Matt Cain would have a longer durational time because his mechanics were more simple, a lot less strain. But you know what? Matt Cain has been hurt too.
Yeah.
So You know, there is no pure science.
And look at Bill. Look at Max Scherzer. You look at his violent delivery, you'd think he'd have sore arms, and he's been great.
I agree. He's a head snapper. I remember when he was in Arizona. Snapper. I always thought he was going to be a bullpen guy.
Yeah.
And that's why, look at how much I know.
Yeah.
Now he's become one of the better starters in baseball.
Oh, one of the best.
He battles you. I mean, he's got a great arm, as we know, but he's a prime example. You know what? His head snaps. But you know what? It snaps at the end. It doesn't snap in the beginning. So that's why I said we all get humbled, even in scouting, or all the efforts. He's a good-sized guy, too, mind you, too. But you're right. Max Scherzer, say what you want, has been as good as everybody else. And, you know, like I said before, years ago when he was in Arizona, I thought he was going to be a pen guy, eighth-inning guy. Maybe, you know, down the road you always see project, maybe a closer, depending on his stuff and his makeup.
Well,
I guess he proved me wrong.
He proved a lot of people wrong. I thought the same thing, that with that delivery, he'd have some problem with sore arm. Kurt and Fraser, you're on Sports Talk with Bill Scherer.
Thank you. Relief pitching's been a big topic, Bill, now, especially the way they've been using relief pitchers in the World Series this year. Now, you came out of Sparky Anderson's bullpen three times in that 84 World Series, and I didn't realize you had the lowest ERA on the team that year, and your team used all right-handed starters. So being a left-hander must have really helped you get into games. Of course, Willie Hernandez was the greatest pitcher that year. And of course, you don't see pitchers like Willie Hernandez and Aurelio Lopez coming in that many games and pitching that many innings anymore. But what do you think about the way they're using relief pitchers now? Is it changing?
Well, you know what? When I go to spring training, this is why I said I stay at the same complex with the Yankee guys, so I see Goose Gossage a lot. So when you're talking to older guys, knowing how they took the ball and pitched three innings or back-to-back games, or when I say to somebody I pitched 10 straight games in a row, and they almost look like I fell out of a truck or out of a plane. That doesn't happen anymore. And you've got 13 pitchers versus when Sparky wanted to break camp back in 85, he literally was thinking of breaking camp with eight pitchers. Now, he broke camp with nine. But guys just took the ball and pitched. Today,
and he was Captain Hook.
Well, he was. And, you know, I love Sparky dearly, but even when I came in relief after Dan Petrie had an ear infection and I pitched like 5 2/3 or sixth inning and Sparky came out and got me the ball, I was actually winning at the time 6-2 in California. And Sparky goes, "You'll be my fifth starter, you know, in 1986. Well, I didn't even make the team in 86. So I love Sparky dearly, but, you know, you got to take him with a grain of salt. But you're right about one thing. Guys threw a lot more. They pitched a lot. I'm going to use the Jim Fregosi line when he managed. I never abuse a pitcher when he's only on his one-year contract or he's got a chance to quote money, because let's face it, Fregosi was a pretty good big league player.
Oh, great.
He says, once he signs that contract, now you're mine. So today, you know, we've got guys that, look for instance, like a guy like Jack Morris. When Jack hit the ball, he pitched the 9-8 game, no different than the 1-0 game, and he completed the game. So there wasn't caught up with my ERA was, you know, he didn't make the Hall of Fame because he's got a high 3 ERA. There's a little bit more to this game, watching it and seeing a guy, how he performed. And we still have big league players that do that. So if you've got quality starters and we stop playing that 6 innings is a quality start,
that's,
you know,
awful.
Peril was a quality pitcher. Another Neil Wilcox did his thing. We, you know, Doug Bear and Lopey and Willie and myself, when we were there, Sparky knew with that kind of bullpen, with Jack starting it off and Peaches doing his thing, I mean, you had guys that were going to go 7 innings plus. But today, because guys only go, or they don't go any past 100 pitches. It's like the speed limit. It's 55. You can't go 56. Now, we know damn straight I'm going 65 and 70. The cop will get me through later. But the point still being made is, you know, your eyes tell you whether he's tired. I mean, it's just we're so – somebody changed the rules, and I know it was money and all the other variables that go into this game, but now you have 13 pitchers. And, you know, and you've got guys going to the big league in some cases too quick.
Because there's no bench players now. I mean, look at the Tigers. Every time they have an injury or two, they're strapped for a bench player because they got so many pitchers on the staff, and they don't have guys on the bench that are quality players. But back then you did.
Well, you know what's funny about relievers, too? And there's another one of Fergusi's line. When a guy has a really good year, what usually happens? He pitches. You use him all the time. If he's not pitching good, he's not pitching. So,
well, Willie Hernandez pitched all the time that year, and there'll never be a season like that again, it looks like, for a relief pitcher. 80 games, that's half the games, pitched 140 innings, almost as many innings as some of your starters.
I know.
And so he was pitching more than one inning. He was pitching two and three innings at a time, you know, and that's not happening except for Miller, their Andrew Miller in the World Series. They were using him kind of like that.
And Chapman, too.
It's sort of changing.
Right. Well, you know another thing, Kurt, too. You're talking about guys like you're mentioning good people, but who pitched any more than John Hiller?
Right. I mean,
then it was 150-some innings twice.
But this is the way Cleveland was using their bullpen during the World Series. Terry Francona had he couldn't probably do it all during the season, and he probably won't next year. But in the series, when the games were important, he was going back to the old days and using his relief pitchers interchangeably and using them a lot, you know. And, of course, against the Tigers, used them a lot and beat us a lot of games that we got last year.
One guy that comes to my mind in a modern-day era, that because he's a big guy too, mind you, and pitched and also pitched in relief, was like old-fashioned old days. John Hiller and Gossage would really appreciate it dearly, is Madison Bumgarner. Those are what guys did. They pitched.
Yep.
You're not taking the ball out of my hands. You can go take a shit. I mean, you're not taking it. So they're going to finish what they started. And you get a guy like Bumgarner that, from an old ex-player, you appreciate it so much because who's coming out of the bullpen? Madison Bumgarner, and he wins. So, you know, bottom line is
he was a tough guy.
The issue about playing sports is to win. It isn't. I get the money. I do get the money. But when all these guys have made a lot of money now, that should be hopefully for their sake is they're trying to get a ring to win a championship. And they'll do any means, any way to do it. And if that means pitch 4 days in a row, throwing a couple innings, so be it. That's how the old days used to be. And none of us got hurt. All pitched as long as we could. But today, we just seem to – I don't want to use the word –
They're babying everybody today. They're babying all the starters. They're babying the relievers. Oh, yeah. Hey, let me ask you one more thing.
Hurry up, because we're out of time here. We're just about out of time.
Just who belongs on the – who belongs in the Hall of Fame out of that 84 team? Who belongs in the Hall of Fame?
Well – You're talking, I've made this comment before. I've talked to the writers, the old veteran guys, and I have a lot of respect. Some of them don't have the clout that they used to. But I get a little biased because I've never played biased. I've always played because I also played with Concepcion. I played with Larkin. I played with, you know, a lot of other quality guys. You know, I played with Ripken in Baltimore. But I look at Tram, and I think Lou's had a great career. Now, we can debate, but if Jack and Tram aren't in the world in the Hall of Fame, something's wrong. If those two guys played in New York, it would be a done deal. Now, I know guys can come in with numbers and tell me how many silver sluggers this guy had or how many gold gloves, because Cal Ripken had gold gloves too, and there was other variables. But, you know, bottom line is, if you didn't get a chance to really appreciate and watch Tram play, not just because of 20-plus years in the big league, or watch Jack perform.
Hey, we're out of time here. We're out of time. I just want to say one more thing, Bill, that you talk about Morris in the Hall of Fame. If Morris in the Hall of Fame, I'll name you 6-7 other pitchers should be there. Mickey Lolich was a better pitcher, and so was Frank Tanana.
Yeah, but you know what? I asked one guy one time, define what a Hall of Famer is. And one guy told me the definition, something sticks out.
Hey, we're out of time,
so
Bill. We're out of time.
Call me later.
I'll give you a buzz. We'll do it again sometime. Thanks, Bill. Bill Shearer. Light Hookah Lounge in Novi has premium hookahs and a casual yet upscale atmosphere. Light Hookah Lounge shows sports on 10 big screen TVs, open 7 days from 5 p.m. Light Hookah Lounge sells hookah products, charcoals, and hookah heads to go. Friday and Saturday, DJ and party night at Light Hookah Lounge, downtown Novi on Main Street. Visit lighthookahlounge.com, lighthookahlounge.com. Center of Healing in Redford, a spiritual empowerment when God is the center of your life and you are empowered to prosper spiritually, mentally, and financially. For more info, go to coh2017@gmail.com, coh2017@gmail.com. Ramshorn Southfield, open 24/7. And north, 12 mile east of Northwestern, the Big Breakfast Special for $3.89. Three eggs, meat, hash browns, pancakes, or toast. Visit Ramshorn, Rochester Hills, Roseville, and Fraser. And Alvin's Barbecue. Downtown Wyandotte has Don Rimmer's best barbecue. Ribs, chicken, pulled pork, and brisket smoked to perfection. Served with Alvin's special sauces every day. With fresh house-made sides. Alvy's has a full-service bar with craft cocktails and eight beers on tap. They're rotated seasonally. Lunch and dinner and drink specials Tuesday through Sunday. Dine-in, carry-out, and event catering at Alvy's Barbecue on Biddle across from City Hall. Check out Alvy's Barbecue on Facebook. Future shows tomorrow. Roger Faulkner in the studio. Soccer expertise and brought the World Cup here and owned the Detroit Express. He's going to be in the studio tomorrow. Talk about the future of soccer in Detroit and the United States, for that matter.
The MLS bid that was supposed to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. And we're going to then go to Bruce Fields the following Saturday, a week from tonight. The Tiger roving hitting instructor and former Tiger player, coach with his team and everything. And also, we're talking about next Sunday, Ernie Witt. Guy that every 10 times up, he had a home run at Tiger Stadium. Maybe a record. Bye-bye, everybody.
Sponsored by Sports Talk with Ron Cameron.
Hi, this is Chris McCourtney of The Patriot, and once again, we're asking for your help. One of our most popular shows and partners, Joshua's Trail, heard weekends here on The Patriot, needs your help.
Right now, if you think Joshua's Trail is needed and America is in desperate need of black conservative voices speaking the truth, see, because what happens in the black community happens to all America. We're hoping that you will give us a profound expression of support of Joshua's Trail. Remember that online donation, Joshua's Trail, no apostrophe behind the S, just one word, joshuastrail.org. Make that tax-deductible donation. Let me be able to come on and tell you that you've responded in such a tremendous way that I felt comfortable in going and signing a contract to continue on with Joshua's Trail. We've got to hear from you. Joshua's Trail.